Tony Sad Productions.
Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. Tell them to keep attacking me.
For the crew, the only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.
And when you go hard for the truth, you better watch your back for haters, cause they'll sneak right behind you and look like an actual neighbor. When you got your mind on right, it seems like every day's a doomsday. Last week I found out my enemies, my roommate, don't care about what you say. Put them phone on last Tuesday, riding all through the night like I never seen a new day. If you do it better, do it right. Don't be worried about what some fools say. Don't be worried about what some fools say. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard.
I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome. 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 This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is, what is today? Tuesday. I know it's Tuesday. Tuesday, March the 18th. And you guys ain't going to believe what's going on. All of my computers, everything went down. No, March the 17th. March the 17th. Tuesday, March the 17th. There we go. 2015 and the time. The time is a little after 7 p.m. Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show standing for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. Today, my brother, today, my sister, we have a barn burner for you. I got three computers, two laptops, two PDAs, and it's like nothing's working. You guys would not even believe this. This is like, I can't even believe it. So I do apologize for the late start. I'm kind of stalling just a little bit. I'm waiting for my system to come online because we're going to be reading today from the Lost Book of Noah, from the Book of Noah. And so my computer just started. You know how the computer does the automatic updates for Microsoft and to do the install, and it's like been doing it. It's just been clocking. So it's been going through this automatic upstall that normally takes, 5 minutes. Now it's been going on just for like 30 minutes now, and so I can't log in to Blog Talk, so I'm not able to bring up my the back end. I normally do YouTube and Spreaker and anymeeting@.com at the same time. I can't log into that venue as well. So I'm flying blind, so to speak, until my computers, at least one of them, come online. But as you know, show got to go on. This doesn't surprise me. When you wrap your brain around or when you hear what I have to share with you today, you'll understand why the Cosmoglottor does not want this information out, because this is some very dangerous information. I mean, everything I talk about, I say this all the time, and people are like, yeah, whatever, Doc. We got you, man. It's esoteric information. It's dangerous information. It's only dangerous because, you say it's dangerous. Okay. Whatever. The main thing that we have to understand, my brothers and sisters, is that the stuff that I'm talking about on this show is very, very highly I hate to use the word confrontational. It's not confrontational, but it's very, very dangerous information if you are a new believer. And so tonight we're talking about one of the books. It's called, again, the Book of Noah. Now, Noah is a character that's inside the Helios Biblios, or a character that's inside of the Bible, right? So there shouldn't be anything like really esoteric, if you want to say that term. Again, that just simply means hidden, about the character that we call or that we know as Noah. But there is. There's a lot that we've got to discuss, and I don't know if we're going to be able to discuss it because, I'm not able to get online to be able to read. I want to read from the Lost Book of Noah. But one of my computers is slowly coming online. I'm using my PDA, and so I was going to just read from that. I can, but, you know, print's really, really small, and plus I'm not able to see what's going on in the back end like I like to. So in this book that we're going to be reading from today, what I need you guys to understand, like I talk about on every show, is that everything that we have been taught is a lie. Everything. Now, anybody can say that, but I've been trying to give you guys information that proves it. And tonight is no different. Again, this information is a part of my 10-book series for this year. Everything that I'm discussing today is inside of one of these books. Now, the information that I'm sharing on these free programs is just, this is just public information. This is just scratching the surface. This is just kindergarten stuff. So if you want to get access to the advanced teaching, if you want to use that term, then you need to pick up a copy of these 10 books. Now, these 10 books are books that you won't find anywhere. You can find bits and pieces of different information that's contained in these books, but each one of these 10 books is about stuff that I'm going to be sharing in 2015. 2015, and again, is the year of preparing the vessel to house the Shekinah glory of God. So the Father is going to be, there already is a pouring out of the Spirit. And so you got to be able to house that. In order to be able to house it, my job, my Hebrew name means builder of the tabernacle. And so as a builder of the tabernacle, and again, I do apologize, I'm slowly bringing my systems online, but it's crazy. I mean, I got all of these computers and everything want to go down at the same time. I mean, trust me, I understand. This is talking about the fragment of the Book of Noah. It's totally different than what you've heard. In fact, I will put all my money on the fact that you've never heard this. What I'm getting ready to share, I will put every dime I got on the fact that you have not heard what I'm about to share with you today. That is why all this, I mean, now remember the Cosmographer is the prince of the air. So what I'm using is a cell phone, I'm using my computer, I'm using my laptop. So it, you know, I got not only landline cable, but I also have, you know, wireless. Because I've been doing this for a long time. So if the landline goes down, I got to back up with the wireless. If the wireless is acting up, I go to the landline. Then I have cell phone. That's why when I do a show, I record it on 5 different venues. Because I've done many shows where a show just right in the middle of the show, it just goes off, just cut off, no reason at all. Sound goes. People say that, well, man, I was listening to your show and it just dropped. I got disconnected. I got logged off. This happens all the time, brothers and sisters. But this doesn't surprise me because he's the prince of the air. So I'm using the air to basically expose the air. So I'm sure that the air is not really too, you know, cool with it, if you know what I mean. So understanding that, there's going to be some adversity whenever you listening to my show. So you got to know that. You got to expect it. So now you got to understand why. Everything that I do is to explain why. Today's message is no different. Today's message I'm going to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify why. Why they took out the Book of Noah. So if Noah had his own book, you know, why wasn't it included inside of the Helios Biblios? Why do we just have a section inside of the Bible that talks about Noah and Lamech? Because what was going on? Because the scripture said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the days of the second coming of the Son of Man. So I have an entire 450-page book about Noah, because what they told you is a lie. Now, I'm not making this up, brothers and sisters. You can read it for yourself, as I will show you tonight. And you can pull this up, and you can read along with me to see what I'm talking about, because, again, there's going to be people, there's going to be trolls out there who disagree. I understand. That's your job. You got your job to do, and I got my job to do. So inside of the fragment, now we just got a fragment. We don't have the whole thing. Could you imagine if we had the whole book? All we got is the fragment of the book of Noah. A fragment. We just got a piece of the puzzle. But just that piece of the puzzle, yeah, that's all we need. Now, brothers and sisters, again, the title of tonight's message is this is a very, very profound message. It is simply revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the book, Noah. Now, we're going to start reading in chapter, I don't know what it is, it's chapter CVI. I have no clue what that is. I guess I could have pulled it up, but because I spent the last 15, 20 minutes trying to get online, I didn't have time to pull up the exact chapter number because it's in Roman numerals. But if you go to Google or any good research or any good search engine and type in the fragment of the book of Noah, that's what I'm reading from. It starts off saying, and after some days, my son, Methuselah, took a wife for his son, Lamech. And she became, and then there's some missing text, and then it picks up, and it went pregnant by him and bore him a son. And his body was white as snow and red as the blooming of a rose. And his hair of his head and his long locks were white as wool, and his eyes were beautiful. Now, brothers and sisters, you know the story of, most of us have heard this story about Noah. But when we talk about Methuselah, we've heard about Methuselah or Methusalem, depending on how you want to, read it. And so when you look for the story of Moses, inside of the Bible, it starts off within the book of Genesis. And if you read it, again, I would like for you to do that, to read the story of Moses, the story of Noah inside of the Bible, and then compare the two stories. Now, Genesis chapter 5, Genesis 5:30. I had all this pulled up, but again, you guys, I do apologize because everything went down. Genesis 5:31. It says, and Noah was 500 years old, and he had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Where's Cush? Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then it goes on and it reads in Genesis chapter 6. Now, I do have that up. Genesis 6 says, now a population explosion took place upon the earth, and it was at the time that the beings from the spirit world looked upon the beautiful women. Now, I'm reading from the, This is the New Living Translation. So, again, it's a little bit, but it's a watered-down translation that's a little bit more palatable. And, maybe I should change the translation because everybody's used to. Well, we'll go with it. This is what I got up. And then it says, then Jehovah said, my spirit shall no longer, or shall not forever be disgraced in men who are evil as he is. I will give him 120 years to mend his ways. In those days and even afterwards, when the evil beings from the spirit world were sexually involved with human women, their children became giants, of whom so many legends are told. When the Lord saw the extent of the human wickedness and that the trend and the direction of men's lives were only towards evil, he was very sorry that he had made them, and it broke his heart. So we see again in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, where it's talking about, Noah. And it's explaining why God, heart was broken and so on and so forth. And, all through Genesis, starting with Genesis chapter 5, so that way you can research it, Genesis chapter 5, or you can pick up a copy of my book, Noah, the man you do not know. So in the book of Noah, we see in Genesis, starting in Genesis 5, Genesis 6, Genesis 7, 8, 9, that's the story of the book of Noah, the one that we've been told, the one that we've been given. Now, if we go over to the book of Noah, the lost book of Noah, there's a totally different story about Noah. Now, brothers and sisters, the thing that I want you to pay close attention to is the story that you've been told about, and then the story as it's been presented here, because you're going to see something that's totally different. When I started off reading, we're starting off talking about Methuselah and Lamech, the father of Noah. So we want to start with the birth of Noah. Now, this is a pretty, you know, big book. There's a lot of stuff. You can read it. You can read the entire book of Noah, or the fragment of the book of Noah at, you know, at your convenience. But what I want to point out is the part where Noah is born. Noah, not his son. Now, one of Noah's sons was born exactly like him, and they was going to kill him. Why? But what about Noah? Let's go back to the fragment of the book of Noah. In those days, Methuselah took a wife for his son, Lamech. Lamech, again, Noah's father. Methuselah, again, Lamech's father. She became pregnant by him, and she bore a son. Now, look at now listen to the description of what Noah looked like when he was born. Noah. His body was white as snow and red and blooming of a rose. And the hair of his head and his long locks were white as wool. And his eyes were beautiful. And when he opened his eyes, he lighted up the room. Remember that. That's inside of the Bible. His eyes illuminated the room. Now, most people interpret that to mean that he had blue eyes. He was, again, blonde hair, blue eyes, what we would call today Caucasian. Now, again, file that away. We're going to need it later. So he said, when he opened up his eyes lit up the whole house or the whole room like the sun, and the whole house was very bright. Verse 3, and thereupon he arose in the hands of the midwife. He opened his mouth and conversed with the Lord of righteousness. And his father Lamech was afraid of him, and he fled. Now, I don't know about you, I would be afraid too. Newborn baby, come out the womb, okay? Now, most of those people were from the Middle East. They were, you know, African-American. I say African-American because that's a frame of reference. They were Middle Eastern. They were Egyptian. They were color. They had some melanin. They looked maybe like, I don't know, like maybe Hispanic or maybe Puerto Rican or maybe, you know, what we call a light-skinned African-American person. That's what all about in his family looked like. Now, Noah comes out snow white. His hair, again, was very long, and it was white as like, and it was thick like wool, and his eyes were beautiful. Now, most African-Americans, every once in a while you may see somebody that have, you know, I saw one guy in my life scared me to death. I saw a black guy with blue eyes. Never seen that before. I mean, I'm talking about one of them blue black brothers. So you don't see very, very, very many, you know, people that have melanin with blue eyes. And so it goes on, Lamech's father was afraid of his own son because, look now, first of all, his appearance, and then what did he do? He said he opened his mouth and he conversed with the Lord of righteousness. A baby, come out the womb, and speaking in tongues, I guess. I don't know. What you guys think? All I know, whatever he said, God understood. At least the Lord of righteousness understood. And so he comes out of the womb. No training, no classes, speaking. At least God could understand him. And his father Lamech was afraid of him, and he fled. And he came to his father, Methuselah. So Lamech went to his father. And man, this is mind blowing to me. So this is generational. So Methuselah did the same thing when he had a son, and then Lamech did the same thing when he had a son, and then we're going to read in Genesis where Noah did the same thing when he had a son. So there's something about that bloodline, that seed line, that they are producing offspring that don't look like no one else. And it tells you in Genesis who they look like. And it says here, let's continue. Verse 5. So Lamech runs to his father and say, Dad, you got to see this. And he said unto him, I have begotten a strange son, diverse from he says, diverse and unlike man, and resembling the countenance of gloriousness. Or, let me go back up. I skipped down a little bit. And he says that, and he said unto him, I have begotten a strange son, diverse from and unlike man, and resembling the sons of God of heaven. And his nature is different and he is not like us, and his eyes are as the rays of the sun, and his countenance is glorious, and it seems to me that he is not sprung from me, but from the angels, and I fear that in his days a wonder may be wrought upon the earth. And now, my father, I am here to petition thee, and I am here to implore thee that thou mayest go to Enoch, our father, and learn of this truth. Okay, now you guys remember Enoch. I read the book of Enoch, where Enoch was called up into heaven. Now, what I didn't say, and I didn't say it on purpose, and I'm going to say it now. Brothers and sisters, what God caught and took Enoch up? Was it the creative God or the creator God? Remember, I did a 10-hour series, just like I did the series on Sylvanus. It's still available here on Blog Talk for free. If you guys want to listen to it, you might want to check it out. Now, Enoch was the father of all these knuckleheads. But Enoch walked with God. But we want to, again, I would recommend that you do your research and find out which God. And then Enoch was called up. Who called him up? And he went into heaven, and he saw all this great stuff. And he came back, and he wrote all of these volumes, and he gave it to man, and that became what we call the Bible. But my question to you, brothers, my question to you, sisters, is who is Enoch hanging out with? Because you do know that there's two gods. Well, we haven't got to that part of the lecture yet, but that's why you need these 10 books. Because in these books and stuff I can't technically share online, it is hazardous. People come up missing when they start talking about this kind of stuff. I don't know why. They have accidents. So let's go back, because something, brothers and sisters, is not quite right. So he sees his son. His son is not the same skin color as him, as the rest of his family. His eyes, his hair, everything about his son. But the thing that blew me away was when he says his nature. And then he says something that, how could you know that a baby is going to bring wrath upon the earth? How would a father know that? You look at your father. Now, when my son was born, I didn't know, you know, what, if he's going to be good or bad. I just, you know, I was happy that I had a son. But he's looking at his son, and he says that, and it seems to me that he did not spring forth from me, but from the angels. But let's go back, because he says that he resembled. Now, let me read it again. And he said unto him, I have begotten a strange son, diverse from and unlike man. That's the first problem. So if he's diverse and he's not like man, what is he like? He goes on and he tells us, and resembling the sons of God of heaven. Now, we know the sons of God that he talks about in Genesis chapter 6. We all know about the sons of God, right? Just in case somebody's listening who haven't heard about the sons of God, let's jump over really quickly over to Genesis chapter 6. And I want to say it's verse 4. Let's look at verse 3. Genesis 3, 6, 3. Let's go with 6:2. I'm sorry. Genesis 6:2. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful, and they took wives unto themselves, all that they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not serve or shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 days. The Nephilim were upon the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children with them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. That means every great warrior, every great movie. I love watching movies, you know, about the Greek mythology. You know, all of those guys, those were all sons of gods. They still walk around the earth today. I've seen quite a few of them. I see them all day. I see them every day. You guys see them too, but you just don't recognize them because you don't know the nature. That's what this show is all about. So you can see the tares, you can see the wheat, and then you can see the tares. So it tells us, again, in the book of Noah that was taken out, again, by Constantine, Flavius Josephus, and Vespasian and his son Titus. They took this out at the Council of Nicaea in 1611. Now, you do know that the Council of Nicaea were hand-picked Jewish rabbis that Yahushua didn't like. And now, so it's like me going and picking one of my enemies to write my autobiography. Do you think he's going to paint me in a very appealing light? Or let's say I get one of you guys, and the only thing you know about me is what you've heard on my show, and I tell you to write my autobiography about my childhood, about my life story and everything. Then you're going to do the best you can, but you got limited information. So that's what happened with Yahushua. We got people telling us about our God who don't know him. I got to go to somebody else, man, who actually know, who hung out with him. I don't want no secondhand, watered down, he said, she said stuff, because it gets watered down in the translation. And then he says, so we know that the sons of God, some kind of way, how, when, where, fashion, as I've been telling you guys to watch that movie on YouTube, it tells you how the sons of God go into the daughters of men today. It just still happens. And that's why everybody in the family could be born with A positive blood. And you got one person in the family that comes out poof out of nowhere. And their blood is, you know, totally different. Why? Now, I could tell you why, but again, truth is better experienced than told. When you find it, it's going to blow your cookies. Now, I have all this inside of my book, The Book of Noah, The True Book of Noah. Now, again, all of these 10 books are not for sale to the general public because they are too dangerous. If you are in a position where you purchase one, I am asking you not to share it with anyone. Again, email me at masterteacher33.com@gmail.com for more information on how to get a copy of one or all 10 of these books. As I've told you guys before, the payment plan, again, is $400 a month for the next 10 months. By the end of the year, bam, you would have completed that the entire payments, and I'll be delivering one book a month. Now, you can pay it however you want to pay it. It's totally up to you. But the goal is that you get your hands on this information to bring about a transformation, not a deformation. Because now that we know that Noah, we're not talking about, now, brothers and sisters, I don't know if y'all really, really, really understand what I'm saying, that I'm not saying. All of Earth's descendants after the flood came through the line of Noah. All of the Earth's descendants came through the lineage of the line of Noah and his three sons. All. Everybody on planet Earth, if you're listening to this show, you can trace your lineage somewhere back to one of Noah's three sons. All of Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they came from Noah. Now, Noah was spared. We were told, I was told, I've been preaching this very emphatically for 20 years. Noah was spared because he was perfect in his genes or his generation. That's what the Helios Biblia said. When God selected Noah, he selected Noah based upon what? What was the criterion? Noah's genes was not tainted. That's what we were told. So what's the opposite of not tainted? I'm just asking a question. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. So if Noah was spared, because he was the only one whose genes was not tainted by the Nephilim. But now we're looking at Noah's father when Noah was born, because this is not in the Bible. So you got Noah, but you don't know where he's from. Like we got Abraham, we don't know where Abraham's from. I told you guys yesterday, so where's Abraham from? You guys know now, right? He's from Ur. He's Chaldean. He's Babylonian. He's pagan. His dad was a pagan. His mama was a pagan. His grandmother and everybody in his whole family were pagan. So what the blank do you think Abraham is? Now, like you and I, he had a conversion. So now we've got to ask ourselves, was it a counterfeit conversion or was it a real conversion? Because if not, everybody's a descendant of Abraham. Or we're not. So if Abraham is tainted genetically, now for most people say, well, Brother Will, I could care less, dog. I don't, you know, what they got to do with anything? Well, unfortunately, brothers and sisters, it's got everything to do with everything. Because everything I'm saying, you are not believing it because you don't have access to the information that I have. So you buy my book, The Cosmic Law Tour, and you read that book, and you said that, and you read in the book of Revelations where it says that Satan, that old dragon who has deceived the whole world, you say, he didn't deceive me. I got the truth, homie. And so you go back to watching TV. But if I can show you, if I can prove to you that what you got is a counterfeit version, and I got a plethora of stuff that I can prove to you that what you got is a counterfeit conversion. That's the only way I can get your attention is by giving you concrete evidence that's irrefutable. Now, this is just one book. I got a plethora of other stuff. We can use biology, or we can use science, or we can use ancient texts. And so it says here that Noah's father was upset because he has a Nephilim son, and he knows it because he's seen it before. And you know the thing that in the book of Genesis, Noah's response to his son, who was born the same way, is the exact same as his father. He was going to kill him, but Lamech told Noah, don't kill him because I didn't kill you. So now my question to you is, what God saved Noah? Now everybody went to, they saw the Hollywood version of Noah, right? The movie. And Christians was a picketing. Christians was angry. Christians was upset because they went to, have you guys seen the movie Noah, the Hollywood version that they just came out with? Yeah, you might want to go watch it again and stop picketing. They hide the truth in plain sight. Now, they just came out with another movie, Gods and Kings, about the Exodus. Everybody upset with that one, too. Y'all might want to go watch it again. Because what they told you, so you really think that Moses, what Moses, have you read? Now, I've asked you guys, I've asked everybody on numerous occasions to look up the definition in Exodus 33, whatever it is, when the God that appeared to Moses and he hid him in a cliff on the rock. Now, people get angry and they get very upset with me. Because I don't care what the truth is. If Lucifer is God, I could care less. Because I didn't create him. I had nothing to do with it. I was dropped on this rock. Like you, I was born here. I didn't ask, at least I don't remember. Some people say that we asked to come here. If that is true, hey, it is what it is. But I don't remember it. So now I'm only held responsible for what I know. That's what the Bible says. So God doesn't hold you responsible for anything that you don't know. Now, in the Matrix, they said that ignorance is bliss. I just found out that ignorance would kill you. Ignorance almost cost me my life. So I decided to get a little gnosis or get a little knowledge because I was tired of walking around in ignorance. And since that day to this, I did not ask technically for this information. All I did was ask for truth. I just said, Father, I don't want to know a truth. I want to know the truth. I don't want to live my life, no disrespect to my mother. My mom was a great mom. She was a great, great mother, but in my humble opinion, my siblings would probably disagree, she was a poor discerner. I don't know about you, brother and sister, but I'm not gonna take everything out that I own and give it to somebody else. I'm damn sure they're going to trust somebody else to raise my children, and I'm not going to watch while they beat them. I don't know about you guys. But I'm not going to do that. Now, I love my mom. My mom died when I was a little kid, so, you know, I can't have that conversation with her. It would be great. I wish she was right here and I could have a conversation. Yo, mom, what were you thinking? What was up? What was your mind at? Because I can remember, and I'm an old dude. I still remember it like it was yesterday. You don't know that feeling when you look at your caregiver. And because you are experiencing extreme pain because somebody hit you on your back with a metal pipe, and you're looking for the person that brought you into this world to assist you, and they don't. That's when you know you're on your own, homie. So I've been on my own for a long time. And it's very important, but that you understand that you are on your own, spiritually speaking. Do you really think somebody's going to come and hand you the truth? No, you got to do a little research, brother. You got to do a little research, sister. It's going to take a little time. The enemy knows that, and he knows that you're not going to invest your time. Because like me, you got other things that are more important. Remember, I'm not talking down to nobody. Whatever you've done in your life, I've done twice worse. Whatever you're doing now, I'm doing twice worse. So whatever you can conjure up in your mind that you're doing today, I'm not talking about 20 years from now, right now today, whatever you're doing, I'm doing 100 times worse than what you can ever imagine. And I'm still doing these blog shows. I'm still reading my Bible. Why? Morality does not define me. Because I know, just like it says in the Bible, that with my body I serve the devil, with my mind I serve God. I know that this body isn't flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom. So I'm not really too concerned with it. Now I know we gotta, you know, it houses the temple, so yeah, we gotta keep it up. We gotta take care of it. But until it gets glorified, until it gets redeemed, my spirit runs the show, my flesh doesn't. Because if you walk in the spirit, you cannot and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That word fulfill means to bring to fruition. We live in a world, brothers and sisters, where you are handicapped. You're fighting against an enemy that you can't see, you can't touch, you can't smell, you can't taste. None of your five senses work, and you wonder why you get mowed down. It is by the grace and mercy of God that you still got breath in your body. So God obviously knows that you are a very, very disadvantaged, because guess what? Real knowledge has been suppressed. I've been saying it, and I will keep saying it. And so we see something that has been suppressed. So it says, let's go back to the lost book of Noah. Verse 7 says, "And now, my father, I am here to petition thee and to employ thee that thou mayest go to Enoch, our father, and learn about this truth. For his dwelling place, or from his dwelling place, is among the angels." So Enoch hangs out with angels, so he would know one when he see one. Verse 8, "And when Methuselah heard these words of his son, he came to him to the ends of the earth, for he had heard that I was there. And he cried aloud, and I heard his voice, and I came to him." This is Enoch talking now. "And I said unto him, Behold, here I am, my son. Wherefore hast thou come to me?" In other words, Enoch said, why y'all call me down here? Because remember, Enoch was called up to heaven. He came down. He hung out with his family. He told them that God gave me a new raiment, just like the dude got. He said that his countenance was glorious. When Enoch went up to heaven, God told Enoch, that God that he was out to hang out with, "Hey, take off your dirt suit. Put this glorious suit on." Now, I don't know what that is, but whatever it is, it allows them to do stuff that you and I can't do. The baby was born with that suit on. So Lamech knew that Methuselah knew that Enoch knew, because Enoch was Methuselah's father. Methuselah was Lamech's father. Lamech was Noah's father. Noah was Shem's father, because Shem was born the same way. And every religion comes from the Shemite. It is Shemitic. And then it goes on. Now, Enoch comes out on the scene. Enoch says, "Wherefore hast thou called me?" He's like, "Hey, man, I was sleeping. You guys woke me up." And then he said, and he answered him, and he said, "Because of a great cause of anxiety have I come unto thee." So Methuselah is like, this is the real deal, man. I'm having an anxiety attack. And then it continues, and he says, "And because of a disturbing vision I have approached thee." Verse 10, "And now, my father, hear me. Unto Lamech, my son, there hath been born a son, the like of whom there is none, and his nature is not like a man's nature." Now, brothers and sisters, that word nature is the most important word in the whole scripture. I cannot express, I cannot expose, and I cannot expand. There's no words in the English language that can accurately deliver what I'm trying to express to you today. When we talk about somebody's nature, what you are talking about is what I talked about before, soulless entities, OPs, organic portals. That's what they're saying. They're like, I think we got an OP right here. We got a soulless entity. We got a future sociopath. We got a future psychopath here. We got somebody that doesn't have reason and logic. Their brain does not have the biological circuitry to exhibit empathy and sympathy. I don't know if y'all ever seen anybody like that. Like I said, I used to work in a supermax prison. I work with those guys every day, all day. Mandatory overtime every day. So every day I went to work, mandatory overtime, minimum 2 hours. I would always volunteer for another two. So my average day for the 5 years that I worked there, I worked 12-hour days. So I hung around with these guys quite a bit. What I saw, I can't even put in words. I don't even know how to explain it. I don't even know how you make a handgun out of a bar of soap that works. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you tear through a chain link fence, 12 gauge, 10, 20. It's not humanly possible. I don't know how you can do some of the things that I saw done. I don't know how you use another man's head for an ashtray. I don't know how. I don't know how a human could come up with the ideals that I saw. That's what Lamech is saying. Lamech is saying this dude's nature is one of the great men of renown. That means he's a killing machine. This dude is dangerous. That's what Lamech is saying. He's my son, but I'm asleep with one eye open because his nature. It's very important, my brothers and sisters, that you understand because you're going to meet people with this nature. You will have that sixth sense will tell you, ooh, something's wrong with Jim Bob. I don't know what it is, but something's off. When you get that vibe, you need to slowly exit stage left. Be cool, be calm, collect, because they can sense your energy. They're energy vampires. So they know before you know. That's why I love watching the Dog Whisperer. The Dog Whisperer, it's funny because he says he trains dogs, but he rehabilitates people. What does that mean? Dogs basically are amplifiers of your emotion. That's all a dog is. A dog is an amplifying machine. If you are afraid, then the dog amplifies your fear. He responds accordingly. So in other words, you have to be in what Caesar calls a calm, submissive state. What they call in a prison, firm, fair, consistent, cool, calm, collected. That's what you have to be when you're dealing with sociopathic behaviors, soulless entities, because they feed off your fear. If you don't got no fear, you can't feed them. I love that latest movie. I forgot the name of it with Will Smith and his son. And in the movie, there was blind monsters that they were fighting. And it was called Earth something. I can't remember the name of it. But the monsters only responded to fear. So the only way the monster can see you is if you have fear in you. That's the way the spirit realm works. If you don't remember nothing else tonight, nothing. That's why God said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but I give you a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. If you don't remember anything, especially women, you're living your life and you're responding to your mate in fear. Your man senses that your fear empowers him. People ask women, ask all the time, why men cheat? They cheat because they know you're afraid of them cheating. Tell your man, yeah, cheat if you want to. Go ahead. Go on out there. He'll never cheat on you. Why? He knows that he's replaceable. Men that cheat know that that you can't find another man. Why? Because you tell them. How? Because of your vibe. Why? You're afraid. Because everybody tell you, girl, you lucky that you got that man. Look at you. You know you're not a catch. And you believe it. Man, you better carry yourself like you God's gift to the planet because you are. You empower bad behavior. You are an enabler. That's what he was telling. That's what when we say nature enables spiritual beings. So it goes around because I know because I used to be one. And so the young lady I was telling you guys about yesterday, when she was telling about the guy, and he said he wants to leave his genetic imprint in her womb, and he had a plethora of females that he was genetically imprinting, making them carbon vessels. Fit extensions for entities, plural, more than one, to walk in, set up shop. Just like in the movie Fallen. All of the Hollywood movies, they all telling you the same thing, man. Y'all are not listening. If you watch any Hollywood movie, watch the Avengers, watch the Transformers. Oh, man, watch the Batman series. Wow, they just telling you when you watch Batman. It's just in your face. They're just laughing at us. They're just like Gotham represents Earth. And they're just walking through Gotham because Batman is the only guy that can help people. And Batman is a bad guy. And so we're putting all of our trust inside of the bad guy, the Batman. So it's in all of the movies. They're trying to express, expose, and expand nature. And then this verse continues. It says, behold, here I am, your son. Therefore, basically he's asking, okay, what do you got? And now, my father, hear me. Unto Lamech, my son, there hath been born a son, the like of whom there is none. And his nature is not like man's nature. And the color of his body is whiter than snow and redder than bloom of a rose. And the hair of his head is whiter than white wool. And his eyes are like the rays of the sun. And he opened his eyes, and thereunto it lit up the whole house. And he arose in the hands of the midwife, and he opened his mouth, and he blessed the Lord of heaven and his father Lamech. Now, that sounds good, right? The son, he's born, he comes out, he's giving God glory, he opened his mouth, and he's giving his father glory. Let's continue. And his father Lamech became afraid, and he fled, and he came to me. This is Methuselah talking to Enoch. And he did not believe that he was sprung from him, but that he was in the likeness of the angels of heaven. And behold, I have come to thee, that thou mayest make known unto me the truth. Verse 13, and I, Enoch, answered and said unto him, the Lord will do a new thing on the earth, and this I have already seen in a vision, and make it known to thee, that in the generation of my father Jared, some of the angels of heaven transgressed the word of the Lord. And behold, they committed a grievous sin, and they transgressed the law, and they have united themselves with women, and they commit sin with them, and they have married some of them, and they have begot children by them. And they shall produce on the earth giants, not according to the spirit, but according to the flesh. And there shall be great punishment on the earth, and the earth shall be cleansed from all iniquity. Noah. But did you hear the name of the father of the angels? Let me read it again, verse 13. And I, Enoch, answered, I said to him, the Lord will do a new thing on earth, and this I have already seen in the vision, and made it known unto thee in the generation of my father, Jared, some of the angels of heaven. So the father, again, of Enoch. So we're going back another whole generation. Do you remember Superman's father? Who was Superman's father's name in Superman, in the movie Superman? Do you remember where Superman was from? What is the movie Superman trying to tell us, brothers and sisters? Remember, the only thing that could subdue Superman was something from his planet, Kryptonite. Crypto. Now, I broke down Kryptonite. I broke it down for you already. You guys heard the show, right? So you understand the metaphysics behind the movie Superman. What they're telling you, Superman's father was named Jared. Superman was from the upward expanse of the North. The name of the planet that Superman was from, look at where Jesus Christ said he was from. Jesus Christ said, I am from above, you are from below. Look at the definition of the word above in the Greek. I triple dare you to do it. I triple dare anybody listening to the show to go to the New Testament and look it up for yourself. I'm not going to tell you what it means. I got all this inside my book. I highly recommend you get a copy of it. Highly recommend you get a copy of it. But if you don't, God bless you. Brothers and sisters, everybody's playing games. Now, on January the 1st of 2009, I'll say it again because that's the day my life changed. Because I prayed one prayer. I prayed for death. I asked to die. And the Bible says any man that loses his life will find it. I lost my life January the 1st, 2009. That's when I was reborn. But what's interesting, I had been saved preaching in front of hundreds, driving around in a brand new car with a big sign on it that says Jesus saved. I brought the car off the showroom floor I took it to a guy and I said, yeah, I want you to put on the dash. He said, are you sure, sir? This is a brand new automobile. You want to put Jesus Saves on it? You guys don't know. The depth of my deception is illegal. I was a religious zealot. I was downtown at the homeless shelter underneath the bridge in San Antonio, Texas, preaching and handing out sandwiches on the weekends, telling people that they were going to hell if they didn't get saved. I don't know if y'all understand where I've been. I don't really know if you understand. I don't really know if you really understand the depths of my disdain for ignorance. Not you. This has nothing to do with you. I don't like demons. I don't know if you really, really understand what I'm saying. I don't know if you really can grasp the depth of what I'm trying to express, expose, and expand to you this evening. I don't know if you could understand the amount of sacrifice, the amount of time, the amount of energy. That really actually means nothing. All I'm saying is you better ask some questions and just stop following people for the sake of following them. Now, the God of Jared was Enoch's father. Enoch was Methuselah's father. Methuselah was Lamech's father. Lamech was Noah's father. Noah was Shem's father. And Shem is the founder of the Jewish Judaism, which is the Semitic language, which we all are descendants of, which you follow if you follow Yahushua. And they all come from Nephilim. But I didn't tell you that. I did not tell you that. Let's continue. Because Jared again saw that some, not all, some of the angels of heaven, they transgressed the word of the Lord. They committed sin. They went in. We know the story again. They saw women. They said, hey, these women are fine, man. I can't pass up this opportunity. So they begat children. And these children that they produced were what you think doesn't exist. I mean, it blows my cookies. See, I knew, because when I was a kid, I used to get visited by this thing that was like, oh, man, I don't even know if I should tell you guys this or not. But you know what? I'm already out there. I might as well let it rip. So I was a little knucklehead, and I used to urinate and defecate on myself. And my mother and father, they didn't, you know, my father was nowhere around. My mother didn't know. She just thought, you know, hey, I don't know what's wrong with him. But that was this thing that looked like a minotaur. You guys know what a minotaur is? It's a man that has, you know, a man body, but he has a bull head. And it's interesting because, you know, they say the sons of the fathers pass down to the son. So I would not, that was like a minotaur. I could see it, but nobody else could see it. I wasn't getting out of bed, so I stayed in the bed. And if I had to go to the restroom, you know, I'm sorry, dog, I'm not getting out of the bed. Then guess what? I have a son. Took him to the doctor. They said that, you know, I couldn't figure out why my son was urinating, defecating in the bed. I took him to the doctor. They said, oh, well, he has a clouded kidney. That could be, you know, that could cause, oh, okay, cool. Really? My son's 18 now. He's a senior in high school. You know what he says? Dad, remember when I was a kid and I used to urinate, defecate in the bed? Because I was scared. The kidney, what are you scared of, man? I used to see the same thing you used to see when you was a kid. It's called a family spirit, brothers and sisters, family, which means familiar. In the scriptures, it's called a familiar spirit. They pass down from generation to generation. The sins of the fathers pass down to the sons. My brothers and my sisters, that nature that was in Noah, that was in Shem, that was what started with Shem, then it went to Noah, then it goes up to Lamech, then it goes to Methuselah, then it goes up to Enoch, then it goes up to Jared. It's just been passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation. Nobody talks. I've never, ever, ever heard it preached. And I've been to a lot of preaching. I used to go to church 3 days a week. Never heard that message preached. Now, the Bible says, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the second coming of the coming of man. So I have a book, and inside of the book, the title of the book is called Technotronics. It's the techocracy. It's the marrying of technology and humanity. That's the new age that's being ushered in. And so once we understand what is going on, this nature, now remember, not only was his nature, but it was the color of his body, it was the whiteness of the snow, it was the redness of the bloom, it was the cheeks, all the wool in his hair, his eyes, all of this, again, let them know that, yeah, he's the offspring of the Nephilim. He's a Nephilim. Noah. I'm not talking about, now remember, we're talking about Noah. We haven't got to Noah's sons yet. I'm going to leave that for the book. You guys have to get this book. You have to. If you don't buy, out of all of the 10 books, the book about the true history, the true genealogy. Now, I just talked about, I just completed the ontological history of mankind. Now, if y'all want to blow your cookies, read that book. Now, I got a lot of fluff in that book that talks about the bird man, the bull man, all of these other kinds of man. That is true. But when we talk about religion, we got to really understand that religion is a system of oppression. It is a system of control. That's why they give it to us. The word religion, you ever look at the word religion? The word religion is the word R-E-L-I-G-I-O-N. The word, take the I, turn it into a Y. Drop the E, it's silent. What do you have? Religion. The word religion means rely I on. Religion. Look at the word. The devil is a wordsmith. I am a wordsmith. I majored. Now, when I was a cop, you know the thing that made me? Every crime that I investigated, I solved. Every chase that I got on, I captured the person. I had a 100% arrest rate when I was a cop. You know why? I was a good criminal. Before I became a cop, what y'all guys think I was doing? So when I was a cop, I just started like a criminal. So I'm like, okay, where would he run? So everybody else is following the car. You know where I would go? I would double back. That's the exact same thing I would do. So I just thought whatever I would do, and I did that, and I always caught the bad guy. Now, I did not ask to be born into a Luciferian environment. I did not ask that. I didn't ask that. But since I was in it, I was in it to win it. And so I decided, because, again, I was a Bible-toting Christian, and what I saw didn't impress me at all. So I said, I want to go hang out with the Luciferians. So I did. They got power over there. I mean, you guys are playing church. Them devil worshipers, yeah, they conjuring up stuff. They doing some big things. But guess what? Unfortunately, it just costs you your soul. That's the drawback. Benefits is not that great. So I decided, yeah, I had enough of this. And since I didn't have the truth, I had already been through all the organized religion. I relied upon a source outside of myself. I crashed and burned. I hung out with the Luciferians. I was a Perennialist. I was a Kabbalist. You know, Sufism, Shamanism. I went through all Buddhism, all of the isms. I went through all of it, man, nothing. Just like King Solomon, vanities of vanities, nothing new under the sun. So at the end of the day, I was just like, okay, January the 1st, 2009. I was on the run from the cops, hiding out. Just got divorced. Kids told me, Dad, you suck. You know, sitting there, you know, hey, in the valley of depression. You know, the devil, he don't play fair, man. He hits you when he punches you when you're on the ground. He lets all the air out of your sails. And so I remember that day like it was yesterday because I was just laying there feeling sorry for myself. Everybody's out popping firecrackers, having fun. It was New Year's Day. You know, they're ringing in the New Year. And I'm on the floor laying there in a fetal position, crying like a little chicken, like a little chomp. Thankfully, the thought ran through my head to punch my ticket. But I didn't have the gumption. So I thought, hey, I used to be a cop, suicide by cop. So I went out and I did something really, really stupid. Really, really stupid. Really, really, really stupid. Triple, I mean, it would land you in prison probably, if not life, pretty close to life. So I was just waiting for the cops to show up. And guess what? They never showed up. I don't know why. And then I found out later that the organization that I committed the crime against, they're like, oh, yeah, we know Willie, man. If he did that, something must have been off. That's not his character. Willie want to press charges. I'm like, what? Hold up. You don't know what I did, man. I just stole. I just did this, that, and the other. And they're like, nah, man, we know that dude. For him to do that, something must be wrong. We don't want. And the cops are like, nah, we don't understand. We want to press charges. Call me and say, hey, we're not even pressing charges, man. Like, really? That just made it worse. Like, man, I can't even kill myself. I mean, I wanted to punch my ticket, but I couldn't shoot myself. So I figured, hey, I used to be a cop. Cops shoot black men on sight. All I got to do is run to my apartment and, you know, throw my hands in the air, and I'm going to get shot. I'll just wait for them to show up. Brothers and sisters, I've been to some dark places. I don't know if y'all really understand. I talk to a lot of people. I've been blessed by the grace and mercy of God. People don't really understand my praise. You can't really understand somebody unless you walked in their shoes. Not too many people have walked in my shoes, thankfully. So what is inside of this book, brothers and sisters, is basically how my life has been. The last thing that I want to leave with you guys in closing is this last section here. And I may do, well, you know what, I won't even do a part two. You guys can pick it up inside of the book. But verse 17 says something, brothers and sisters, that I need you guys to hear as I close. Verse 17 says, and they shall produce on earth giants, not according to the spirit, but according to the flesh. And there shall be a great punishment on earth. Now, you guys know, after this, Noah, if you go on and continue reading the rest of this lost book, it talks about the deluge. It talks about the flood. And then Noah's son continues, so the Nephilim can't be removed off the earth because they're inside of your genes. It's genetic. But notice what it says. It says that they shall produce on the earth giants, not according to the spirit, but according to the flesh. The three F's that I talk about, fun, fighting, and effing. And it says, and there shall be great punishment on the earth, and the earth shall be cleansed from its impurity. Yea, there shall come a great destruction over the whole earth, and there shall be a deluge and a great destruction for 1 year. And this son who has been born unto you shall be left on the earth, and his three children shall be saved with him. Now he's a baby. Enoch is telling him that this baby is going to have three sons. I would say that he's a pretty good prophet, but everything he said actually came true. My only problem that I have is, you guys know that number one, that there's two Enochs. Why is there always two? There's two Christ too. Interesting. And so this Enoch says, and he continued reading, and he tells him that all mankind that is on earth shall die, but he and his sons shall be saved. And now make it known to thy son, Lamech, that he who has been born is in truth his son, and call his name Noah, for he shall be left to you, and he and his sons shall be consummated on the earth in his days. And after that, there shall still be more unrighteousness than that which was first consummated on the earth. So he's telling them, even though all of this is happening, there's still going to be more unrighteousness on the earth. For I know the mysteries of the holy ones. For he, the Lord, has shown me and informed me, and I have read them in the heavenly tablets. So he's telling them, okay, all this stuff is going to happen. Even though all this is going to happen, basically, yeah, it's a waste of time. Nothing really you can do about it, because I saw this inside of the book. And then it finishes and it says, and I saw written on them, the generations upon generations shall transgress till a generation of righteousness arises, and the transgression is destroyed, and sin passes away from the earth, and all manner of good comes upon it. And now, my son, go and make known to your son Lamech that his son, which has been born, is in truth his son, and that this is no lie. And when Methuselah had heard the words of his father Enoch, he had shown to him everything in secret. He turned and he showed them to him, and he called the name of the son Noah, for he will comfort the earth after his destruction. Now, brothers and sisters, what I just read probably causes or creates a lot of confusion or questions. I can't say confusion, but questions. And the reason I like this, because this is how you solve problems. Problems are not solved if you don't know they exist. The thing that blows me away is nobody looking for the truth because they believe they already got it. One of the things that I've been called to do is to express, expose, and expand. The truth that you have is flawed. Not that it's not the truth or a truth, but it needs to be fine-tuned a little bit. So am I saying that everything that you've been taught is wrong? No, I'm not. Am I saying that Noah is a bad guy? No, I'm not. Am I saying, all I'm saying is that Noah has Nephilim DNA. Now, this is where every African-American organization on the planet and not off and off the planet, I've been recruited by every black, oh man, the Black Panther Party, the New Black Panther Party, the Guerrillas of Blankety Blank, organization, every African American melanated organization on the planet hear my shows and my message. Now, you guys haven't read my book, Cosmic Melanin. I took it off of my website, Cosmic Melanin. This is where black folks get their knowledge from. Their information from. The Nephilim were Caucasian. They were Aryan. They were what they call the Aryan. Now, if you go to prison, they call the Aryan Brotherhood. Now, in the esoteric community, they call the Brotherhood of the Snake. Now, let me make sure that we're all on the same page, because some people will hear me say that, and they say, oh, okay. So that means that all Caucasians, then, are the bad guys. That's what my brothers tell me. Now, brothers and sisters, you think the devil is that stupid? You do know that the races have been immingled. Now, it's not about race for its color, because you could be white and have the Messiah's blood. You could be black and have Nephilim blood. You cannot say all black people are blank, because all I got to do is just take you over to Egypt. You do know that all the pharaohs in Egypt were Nephilim, right? What color were they? They weren't black. They were actually green. Look at the walls of the Egypt. Look at most of the cartoons. Why is the Hulk green? You know, the character of the Hulk is supposed to be a black guy, right? I don't know if you guys understand what melanin is, because I got black folks calling me. Now, they angry or upset. You guys I told you guys when I had my coffee shop and I did a whole series entitled Wake Up Black America, and I revealed this, and I had black folks basically, because I was, I was in the hood. But see, sometimes black folks forget that I'm black too. They say I sound white. So like I tell everybody, what do you think? Just because I don't live in the hood, that don't mean that I forgot how to act when I go to the hood. So every once in a while, people get confused, and I got to remind them. I mean, it's okay. I understand. I'm just telling you guys, the enemy plays both sides of the fence. I can prove that based upon, if you're Caucasian, okay, based upon that text, that's what that means, offspring of the Nephilim. I can prove, again, based upon the Egyptology text, based upon the Samaritan text, based upon the Gospel of Egypt, based upon the Septuagint, that, again, these were all melanated individuals. They had elongated skulls. Do you know Quetzalcoatl down in Mexico? The fiery serpent. Do you know the Beni Hanukash? You know that they were all melanated individuals, and you know that they were all Nephilim? They were giants, huge, with huge elongated skulls. And they was black as night, and they were Nephilim. So we got some black people. We just go by skin color. And so when I get the people calling me and telling me, oh, man, you understand, the white man is, he's a white devil. Really, dude? Well, I know a lot of black devils, too. It's not about race. It's about covenant. So you cannot preach race. You can't preach color. You got to teach covenant. That was a covenant made by a covenant God with a covenant people. It has nothing to do with color. Because black, by definition, is the absence of all color and the inclusion of all color. My brothers and my sisters, it's important that we understand. Well, my brothers and sisters, I thought I got off topic just for a little bit. Again, this is one of the 10 books. Again, this is the true esoteric history of Noah. Very, very important study, because this information doesn't change the biblical information of Noah. It just lets you know that Noah wasn't perfect in his genes the way they tell us he was. His genes, his genetic code, if you want to say that they were perfect, the father says that, hey, I'm doing a new thing on the earth. What was that new thing? Ephesians chapter 2. Father was like, I don't care if the bloodline is tainted. I'm going to bring somebody who don't got tainted blood, and I'm going to regenerate. That's what it talks about in Ephesians 2. The two seeds that are far off, the two shall become one new man. That's what I'm talking about. So y'all better make sure y'all understand the true divine plan, because otherwise you're going to get pigeonholed with a truth. Now, Egyptology, a truth. Buddhism, a truth. Islam, a truth. The Kabbalah, a truth. Sufism, a truth. Shamanism, a truth. All of those are different levels of truth. Keep going. Don't stop. Everybody get to a certain level and they stop. I don't understand. The object of the game of baseball is not to get to first base. It's not to get to second base. The object of the game of baseball is to cross home plate and hear the umpire, God, declare you safe or saved. My brothers and my sisters, again, email me, masterteacher33.com at gmail.com. Say, Brother Will, when that book comes off the print, I need a copy of it. Again, there are 10 books. It is my prayer that you get all 10. Money is not an object. If we got to stretch the payments out for 20 years, we'll do that. You need to get these 10 books. You must have these 10 books, because they're going to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify what is coming down the pike. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the days of the second coming of the Son of Man. My brothers and my sisters, I am Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May the Son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the rock, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brother, as always, my sister, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Certified Productions.
Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. Tell them to keep attacking me.
For the crew, the only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.
And when you go hard for the truth, you better watch your back for haters, cause they'll sneak right behind you and look like an actual neighbor. When you got your mind on right, it seems like every day's a doomsday. Last week I found out my enemies, my roommate, don't care about what you say. Wasn't born on last Tuesday, riding all through the night like I never seen. Don't be worried about some fool say. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard.
I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.